Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of Crying at the Kendrick Lamar Show, which is, you know, definitely feeling love. One of the most beautiful songs of the past like 10 years. Truly a beauty. And we'll get to the video that is going viral of a security guard crying while Kendrick performs that song. But up first, oh wait, I'm Jack. That's Miles.
Yep.
Some big news in my world. I did score some Purple Thunder Mountain Dew, which is the...
Why do you got to say... I like how, because like you're, you know, you have a healthier lifestyle, that you still say like, I scored
Mountain Dew.
Like, as if you like hooked up in a, like a parking lot.
Now I'm
some
about
shady
to get
dude.
My fix.
All right, what do you got?
It's so Purple Thunder, which is a Circle K exclusive. I scored.
Oh, shit.
I managed to score by going to Circle K, and they had it there.
And they asked you repeatedly, like, "You sure you want this?"
I've been smelling it for a little bit, but I didn't want to taste it until we were live on air.
Okay.
It has notes of purple.
Okay.
And nothing else. It's
and
just
red
purple,
five.
Just concentrated purple. So up first, we're talking Stranger Things. I'm going to take a sip while you explain what's going
okay,
on, because
yes,
I actually don't
do.
Understand the story.
Let it hit your palate. So Stranger Things is trending because the Duffer Bros, the people behind the show, they in a recent interview had basically admitted to George Lucasing stuff, you know, retconning shit in their show, changing things after the fact. And this is something that like I had heard before, that as it related to like effects, like sometimes there were visual effects that they wanted to tweak because it wasn't quite paying off on their vision. But in this case, one of the specific examples was that there was like a discrepancy between like Will's birthday that was stated in like an earlier season and then later on. And they're like, these aren't the same dates. And they're like, oh, shit, whoops. And ended up changing it. Now, you know, a lot of people are saying like, like in a larger context, what does this mean? Like as a trend for creators, like, does it make sense to go back and just change things after the fact? Or do you accept these, you know, these works as they are? And, you know, I'm not. It is a little odd. I'm not like the biggest. I don't quite see the point. Like that's, I think, and I was raised to be like, well, you know, mistakes are learning, are teachable moments, and then they help you prevent them down the road. But going back and then sort of just changing like plots and things after the fact, I think doesn't do anyone any good. Like aside from sure maybe the person who called out this detail change, but like being like, no, that never happened is kind of fucking weird to me.
And sure, we at the Daily Zeitgeist do, you know, if somebody sends a single comment that is critical of one of the points, we go back and re-edit the episode to update it to not offend anyone's sensibilities, but that's, you know, to each their own.
Yeah.
Or we just delete the episode. Yeah, no, this is dumb. This is weird. I remember it bothered me a lot. For some reason, I have Life of Pablo on the brain, but when Kanye, like, did that with Life of Pablo, he, like, dropped it and then kept, like, changing songs as they went, and I think, like, kind of making some of them worse. That was frustrating to me. It just, but yeah, it does feel like something that I'm surprised more people don't do it. Just be like, all right, so we put it out there for a couple days, like the way that video games are released, where they'll like put it out there kind of broken, and then
yeah, that's more like born out of just that absolute terrible like churn that occurs at these studios when they're like, yeah, I don't care if it's shit, we told them it's coming out this day, and then yeah, we'll beg for forgiveness when we put out a terribly chaotic product. But like, I don't know. I mean, in this British GQ article, they're sort of also positing, like, you know, because the Duffer brothers arguably are huge figures in media, because, you know, Stranger Things is such a huge show. Like, what example is that setting for other people to be like, no, no, that's fine, you can just do that shit.
I like how you're thinking about all this as teachable moments and setting examples for like the Duffer brothers or children that you're trying to.
Yeah, you know, because you gotta teach them young.
You gotta teach the Duffer brothers young.
Exactly. That's what I've always been saying. That's what I told Netflix when they told me to leave before they quote unquote call security again. So
the Duffer brothers, that's just not a great name for like being taken seriously.
Just, so you think they're, what should they, how would you be a brother duo and try and just go as
Coen,
like your
brothers,
two names?
Maybe I feel like that would work better as a couple of filmmakers. The Coen brothers kind of has a nice ring to it.
Change their name to the Coen brothers.
All right, real quick update. You might have heard when I first started talking that I had a little something in my throat. That's because my mouth is salivating all the way down to my stomach through my throat. That's how good the Purple Thunder is.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like a perfectly rounded off the way the Mountain Dew tends to be. No weird aftertaste. I was expecting more of like the grape aftertaste that you get from like, you know, a Welch's grape soda, which I am a big fan of grape soda.
Or licking a scented marker.
Yeah. But it actually kind of just rounds off really nicely after you swallow. Not a lot of aftertaste. It's really good. They have done it again. Mountain Dew. And by that, I mean, this is, you know, one of I'd say they're batting, you know, in the 30s with their flavors, or 40s. And the misses aren't like terrible.
Yeah. It ain't
like Major Melon. I still will drink, even though it does have a chapsticky vibe to it. I still keep it around every once in a while because it is the most intense artificial watermelon experience that I think has been invented.
Yeah. Artificial watermelon, not a great flavor though.
Yeah. They should not have done the Baja Blast spinoffs. They should have kept that sacred. But other than that, I'm not mad at anything. But this is they've nailed it. Purple Thunder, well done. Mountain Dew,
official
and
take,
Circle K.
Not mad at Yum Brands.
Not mad at Yum Brands on this end. Or I guess PepsiCo. PepsiCo?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Big fan of both corporations. I think there's probably not anything wrong in either of their histories. Let's move on to Brittany Griner. We have a CNN exclusive. Biden admin has offered to exchange Victor Bout, a convicted Russian arms trafficker serving a 25-year U.S. prison sentence, in potential deal for release of detained Americans. Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan. And then that's
he's been there for a minute too.
Who's Paul Whelan?
He was some dude that they were accusing of being a spy, like when it just like did not seem like that was the case. It seemed like very much to be like, yeah, we swooped this dude up.
Right.
But yeah.
So we still need to see if the contracts, if the money works out on the CNN trade machine. But this is.
Right.
Why are they throwing in an extra person? Just get Brittany Griner out of there. I mean, I don't know anything about Paul Whelan. It's like,
pretty sure I don't think he's detained justly either. So
right, yeah, okay, that's fine.
But you're like, but how many? Yeah, what's Paul Whelan's
stats? I feel like they're gonna use the Paul Whelan thing to, you know, blow it up.
Anyway. It's just wild to me, like, that, you know, you have, they're arresting Brittany Griner. She was saying, like, I was not read my rights. This has been like a complete just shit show, naturally, because this was all happening like with the backdrop of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And just like that, the trade is like, here's someone who, you know, according to the Russians, maybe brought this vape cartridge in. According to her, maybe not. And then you're like, okay, we want this arms trafficker instead.
Right.
And that's kind of like how all of, like, we'll kidnap this person. Now give us someone that's actually dangerous. Okay. It's wild how we have these prisoner swaps. But yeah, I hope that Brittany Griner is able to get the fuck out of there as quickly as possible.
Need to send the equalizer in there. That dude's good at killing Russians, if I know one thing. extracting a hostage from a Russian. Jack,
it's a fucking movie, dude.
That movie is wild.
But what if it was true?
What if Home Alone was true and also had a body count?
You say that all the time. Russians? You always say that right before I'm about to walk into your house when you invite me over. And you're like, hey, before you come in, dude, what if Home Alone was true? And I'm like, oh,
but
shit, I'm about to get hit with
died.
A paint can. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Oven is trending. And this is because Padma Lakshmi asked Twitter what the best way to cook bacon is. And she put it out there as microwave, stovetop, or oven.
Yeah.
I'm assuming oven is trending because people were saying microwave oven, right? Because that's clearly the best. Why include microwave? Oven. Nobody thinks microwave.
People do.
People think microwaves are a good way to cook bacon.
If you want to dry the fuck out of it and, you know, have it super crispy.
Like bacon
and,
jerky?
Yeah, but also like the fucking grease everywhere. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I like the oven. I'm oven gang.
You're you oven can
do,
gang.
You can do fucking amounts in an
yes.
oven. You know
oven
what I mean?
Is efficient and it's harder to fuck up in the oven than it is on stovetop.
It's exactly. And like, I like to put it, you could put a big sheet out. You can season your bacon.
Yeah.
When you do it in a sheet tray, like in a sheet pan in the oven, like I'll put like cayenne and like other shit, just to give a little, like some maybe brown sugar, some
spicy
sweet bacon.
I just put a lot of salt
bacon.
On it.
Oh, like, you gotta knock that off, man.
Bacon's not salty enough for me, man. I like to butter it and salt it.
It's like the video I saw of someone putting sugar in Gatorade and downing it. I was like, what the fuck is this? But yeah, like, look, 450, you put that shit on 450,
yeah.
15 minutes or so, 12 minutes, like depending on how you like it. It's great too, because if you're making breakfast, you can focus on other things like cooking bacon in the stovetop. There's grease, there's
yeah,
attention that has
attention
to be paid.
To
I'm saying it's
but
the best
I will
way.
Say, but like really perfectly done on the stovetop bacon is better than the best oven bacon I've ever had. But like oven bacon is probably, if I had to say the best way to cook bacon is probably in the oven, because it's just, you're going to get good bacon and you're not going to have to like be on top of it constantly. Yo, how
and
sick
also,
is bacon though? Like bacon, top three things, bacon, ninjas, and what was another thing from that era of the internet?
You're either a pirate or you're a ninja.
Right.
It was the era of your bacon. Are you a pirate or are you a ninja?
And Teddy Roosevelt.
Well, okay, fine. Two out of three ain't bad, I guess.
Wasn't that a thing? Didn't people like Teddy Roosevelt?
Oh, because
or
of Night at the Museum?
No, maybe that was like very specific to Cracked, but I do feel like everybody was.
And
really
Cracked.
Into,
how about
and
Cracked?
Cracked? There you go. And Cracked. There.
What Whatever. A time. What
a time. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and Beyonce is trending. New album drops on Friday.
Yep.
And it leaked early, and Beyonce fans are so loyal that, like, it's just not getting passed around. There's like, you better shut
someone in France
lid on that shit.
Someone in France was like, you're not going to believe what I saw at my record store 2 days early, Renaissance on CD. I'm buying it. And then people are starting, like, songs like Church Girl and Cuff It, I guess, are leaking on the internet. But the fan accounts, like, the way they're trying to be like, hold the line and be loyal to Beyonce.
Hold!
It's fucking inspiring in a way that I'm like, I've never seen humanity coordinate in such a way. But
and also, we will beep out you sing the names of the songs because that acknowledges too much. We can't tell people that.
Well, the track lists have been out, so even the most devoted fans know. Yeah, thank you. But there's like the Beehive fan club. They said, like, on their IG, it said Beehive now mass report the accounts who spread the Renaissance leaks. Don't share the leaks. Just report on social media, Instagram, on Twitter. Report to Parkwood and block. Don't worry about sales or anything. That would be fine. Let's do this. Respect our queen. It's been 6 years, 2 more days, and only 30 hours left to wait, and y'all can't do it? You're telling me you can wait 6 years, but not 30 damn hours? It's disrespectful to Beyonce and her hard, hard work. So, and people are like, yeah, no, we agree. So
that's wild. That is a new level of fandom that I don't feel like. I guess that happens with, like, Marvel movies too, right? Where people are like,
I mean,
buying 20 tickets to make sure it opens big and shit.
I'm just trying to think of a lot of albums. Like, if because sometimes leaks, the quality's shitty. And I've in the past, like I remember when Kanye albums used to leak, I'd be like, oh shit, look, I got the leak like 2 weeks early. And I listened to it and I'm like, oh, okay, fine. And then I didn't really care about it because I was more interested in the leak than the actual material itself. Mm. And then I don't know, part of me feels like I could wait. If I'm a real fan of something, I think there is just like the excitement of being like, here's the album as it was meant to be released, and I'm clicking play now.
Right.
But
yeah, I guess it was more the voice of it. It felt like they were fusing with Beyonce. Like they were, it's like what the artists themselves would say, and they just like are another like mouthpiece for the artist.
I just love hearing this one line. We can experience a renaissance together. You won't break our souls, but we will break yours. Stop this disgusting shit you leakers are doing.
We will break yours. All right. Loch Ness. The Loch Ness monster is trending.
Loch Ness. Nessie. Why? We found her?
Yeah, they found her. So the Loch Ness monster was a real thing all along. Moving on. Kendrick is... No. So people, there's like articles being like, Loch Ness monster existence plausible, scientists say. And that is because they discovered a dinosaur that most closely resembles the Loch Ness monster was able to survive in fresh water. They found the fossil of a small plesiosaur in a former river system. And the clickbait industrial complex has taken that and run with it all the way to scientists say basically like Loch Ness monster's real, y'all. That's all they got is that like a dinosaur that looked like the Loch Ness monster
could be
once existed in fresh water. It's important to note first of all that the same outlet that is posting those articles published an article about how the most convincing Loch Ness monster photos were really a fiberglass hump made for a Loch Ness monster movie. And there's also the fact that the most famous photograph of Nessie, the one that you're picturing in your head right now from 1934, was revealed to be a toy submarine with a plastic thing stuck on top.
Oh, my.
And the hoaxer who did that and his friend who was a surgeon, weirdly, it takes. Again, my point, surgeons can be very dumb.
Dude, they're going to fucking believe it because I'm a fucking surgeon. Exactly. It's fucking perfect.
But they like have admitted to it and people just ignored it because being like, this is not a real picture. It doesn't sell as many newspapers as this is a real picture. Right. And also because people didn't believe that a respected doctor could it's like be a party to such a deception.
That famous one where we see like the head breaching the water and like it's like a cropped photo where you could see someone's like oar from like a canoe next to it and it's just way bigger and you're like, what the fuck? That thing must only be like 10 inches big.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, cool.
There are no other plesiosaur bones in Loch Ness. Loch Ness is way too small to sustain even one creature that size. The water is too cold for a reptile and was covered in ice as recently as 18,000 years ago. Like the first sighting happened in, or I guess the most famous photo was taken in 1934, which was just 1 year after the release of King Kong. So basically it's just an old timey meme and anything you hear
is
to the contrary
lie.
Is stupid. As opposed to alien sightings. Let's focus on the alien sightings, folks.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
Not just made up by a surgeon, but from the guy from Blink 182. I think I'm going to believe him.
I think I'm going to believe him. I would also let him do surgery on me before a real surgeon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought Enema of the State was like a medical diagram. The album
for sure. And finally, Kendrick trending because of this clip of a security guard at the Houston Mr. Morale show just crying openly while Kendrick performs Love.
It's beautiful.
It really is beautiful. It's just
because anybody who's gone to a concert, and Super Producer Brian was bringing this up before, like you see people, you see security guards who try and pretend like they're not a total fan of the thing that they're at. Like sometimes it's like at a sporting event and people breaking their necks to see like what's happening on the field or whatever. or at a concert, like nodding their head, just real, like, yep, I'm in this fucking concert for fucking free and I'm working. But in this moment, it's just so amazing to see this person who is so close to the stage, basically has his front row seat to the Kendrick show, and overcome with emotion because they are just appreciating a piece of music. And I think it's hopefully a universal experience. I know some people people who don't like music that much, and they're like, I've never cried to a piece of music. Yeah. And I'm like, I feel bad for you. Do you cry at all? They're like, no, that's a sign of weakness. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well,
Miles, I told you to keep that conversation off mic, but
I'm not gonna let you lie about this anymore. Jack doesn't cry to music.
Yeah, it is like a truly beautiful moment. And, you know, I'd fire his ass because he's not giving off the right vibe of, like, I want people to be afraid to storm the stage. So I'd fire his ass. But, you know,
that's true. You can't look like a fan of the music. You need to look like you will protect the artist.
Thank you.
But Kendrick, someone asked him about the clip because it was blowing up, and he was just like, shout out to him. He's like, because he said he saw him when he was performing. And he said, I was like, man, I wonder what he's going through. But at the end of the day, that's how you want everybody to perceive your music.
Mm. And I feel like he wasn't necessarily going through anything. Like, it's tears of, you know, like, it could be tears of joy, or it could be like, this is my song with an ex.
But, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. I didn't feel like it was like a, damn, I am watching somebody who is on the edge.
Right. Well, and I think that's also maybe too, that's a little bit of Kendrick's toxic masculinity peeking out again too, where it's like, this man has to be crying because he has to be going through something.
Mm.
Where you could just be like, I don't know, you could be this dude who likes the song and you're so happy that you are crying. But look, Kendrick, step by step, man. Step by step.
Yeah. I just, when I go to a concert, I just ugly cry the whole time. People, distracting everybody around me. Just
they're like, just, oh man, you going through
this
something?
This was our song.
You say that with your wife next to you, like, what? With who?
Never mind. You'll never understand me.
All right. Well, those are some of the things that are trending on this Wednesday afternoon. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourself.
Yes.
Get the vaccine. Yes. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.